NASA gets funded by Congress in the 11th hour after announcing research it funded has found a potentially habitable planet. And Boeing concedes the 747-8 won't get delivered till mid-2011. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, October 1st, 2010. The House of Representatives approved the Senate's version of the NASA Authorization Act of 2010 with bipartisan support by a vote of 304 to 118 on Wednesday. House Committee on Science and Technology Chairman Bart Gordon had earlier expressed concerns about the bill's unfunded mandate to extend the shuttle program by adding one more flight next summer at a cost of $500 million, which would have to be cut from other NASA programs. In the end, the House moved ahead without seeking compromises with the Senate to save time. Of the bill's passage by the House, he says, quote, "I see today's floor consideration to be only one more step in crafting a sustainable, affordable, and productive future path for NASA, and to ensuring stability and clarity to the NASA workforce and larger space community. To that end, I plan to continue to advocate to the appropriators for the provisions in the compromise language we released last week," unquote. Here's a great story to have break the week Congress is debating your funding. NASA and the National Science Foundation say research they funded has found the first potentially habitable planet aside from Earth. A team of planet hunters from the University of California, Santa Cruz, and the Carnegie Institution of Washington say the planet has three times the mass of Earth. The discovery was the result of more than a decade of observations using the Keck Observatory in Hawaii, one of the world's largest optical telescopes. The research determined that liquid water could exist on the planet's surface. The planet is one of six discovered in orbit around a red dwarf star named Gliese 581. Its mass indicates it's probably a rocky planet with a definite surface and enough gravity to hold on to an atmosphere. A bipartisan bill has been introduced in the U.S. Senate, which would increase baseline training for TSA screeners working the nation's airports and require they get periodic refresher training. The Aviation Security Innovation and Reform Act was sponsored by Republican Scott Brown of Massachusetts and Democrat Tom Carper of Delaware, and would also create a new federal office to coordinate the various behavior detection programs within TSA and the Department of Homeland Security. Carper explains, quote, "We must continue to strengthen transportation security and make sure the men and women at our nation's airports and other transportation centers have the best possible training. To effectively detect the bad guys, screeners must have the latest tools and most advanced training," unquote. Both houses of Congress will adjourn shortly to allow members up for re-election some time to campaign back home. Boeing said yesterday it now expects to make the first customer delivery of the 747-8 freighter around the middle of next year. The announcement was expected. The company also announced the addition of a fifth plane to the flight test fleet. The new delivery schedule follows a thorough assessment of issues, including a low-frequency vibration in certain flight conditions and an underperforming aileron actuator. While neither issue requires structural changes to the plane, they have led to disruptions to certification testing, which the program was unable to offset within the prior schedule. Boeing says the schedule change is not expected to have a material impact on its 2010 financial results. Up next on ANN, AirTrek wins round three against the FAA. Mid-Continent's lithium backup system gets an AML STC. And Bombardier is planning a big unveiling at NBAA. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 1st. I'm Paul Plack. Debris from a single-engine de Havilland Beaver float plane, which disappeared carrying three National Park Service employees in Katmai National Park in Alaska, has been located on the park's rugged northern coast. Park Superintendent Ralph Moore says a local helicopter pilot spotted portions of the aircraft, including a piece of the tail with the N number, on a narrow section of beach about 10 miles northwest of Sukhoi Bay. The plane had been missing since August 21st. The area where the debris was found had been flown over by the National Park Service as recently as Monday, and rangers had walked the beach just a few miles west of the site. High tides and high east winds on Monday and Tuesday are thought to have helped make the debris visible from the air. AirTrek, the Florida Air Ambulance operator which faced a slew of what turned out to be apparently baseless FAA charges, has won yet another victory against the agency. AirTrek, which says it lost over $10 million in revenue and had to lay off 65 employees during a 15-month shutdown over maintenance and training violations the FAA later dropped, got $122,000 in reimbursement for legal expenses awarded to it from the FAA by an NTSB judge on March 4th. That was to cover expenses which included the first two FAA appeals. The FAA appealed a third time, and the latest NTSB rebuff of the FAA, which happened September 20th, runs AirTrek's legal tab to $124,527, all to be reimbursed by the FAA, the largest such award in FAA history. This exhausts the FAA's options for appeal. The FAA has awarded an approved model list supplemental type certificate to Mid-Continent Instruments for the company's MD-835 lithium emergency power supply. This is the first lithium nanophosphate battery to be AMLSTC approved by the FAA for use in Part 23 aircraft. It supplies 24.5 volts DC for critical and standby equipment and maintains full capacity by recharging during normal flight operations. The approved model list includes 30 aircraft, including the Beechcraft King Air 90, 200, and 300 series, the Beech 1900, Beechcraft Premier, and Cessna Citation 501, 525A and B models. At 4.8 pounds, the MD-835 is claimed to be 8 pounds lighter than competing products. Compared to lead-acid backup systems, it requires inspection only once every 2 years versus yearly for lead, and has a life expectancy of 10 years, more than three times as long as the older technology. For a list of distributors, see the text version of this story, dated October 1st, at aero-news.net. Bombardier Aerospace announced yesterday its board of directors has given the official go-ahead to launch the expanded global aircraft family. Details will be revealed at the DeKalb Peachtree Airport on Monday, October 18th, the day before NBAA 2010 opens in Atlanta. Steve Ridolfi, president of Bombardier Business Aircraft, did say this much, quote, "The global aircraft family will build upon the existing successful Global 5000 and Global Express XRS jets in the large business aircraft category. We look forward to sharing more details about this exciting aircraft family with everyone at our launch event," unquote. Still ahead, 500-foot cranes are going up at LAX. Another flying car gets an SLSA certificate. And Harrison Ford is honored for his work in aviation. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, October 1st. I'm Paul Plack. Officials at Los Angeles International Airport caution helicopter pilots that the 401 parking structure heliport there will be closed for about a year due to cranes being used for terminal construction. Parts of the cranes, which measure from 300 to 500 feet tall, have already started to arrive, and a NOTAM will be issued when exact dates for the closure are determined. It's expected to start about the middle of this month. LAX officials say the FBOs on the field can still handle helicopter traffic. The Coast Guard ramp at midfield is available for military rotorcraft, and other arrangements can be made for law enforcement, fire, or life flight operations. The FAA's North Florida FISDO has issued a special light sport aircraft airworthiness certificate to ITEC, a Central Florida Christian nonprofit humanitarian organization, for its unique land, air, water, and snow-capable vehicle. The Maverick is technically a powered parachute, but has a dune buggy-like off-road vehicle beneath the chute. The same set of controls is used for flight and driving on the ground, and ITEC says it has tested earlier iterations in frontier areas of Africa and South America, operated by non-pilots without a mishap. Planned applications include extreme sports, search and rescue, and fire spotting, with the hopes that the additional volume from those sales will lower the cost to Maverick's primary non-commercial market, indigenous people in the world beyond roads. ITEC says it's entertaining the possibility of licensing production to an outside entity so it can concentrate time and resources on continued development of its primary technologies and healthcare for people beyond the reach of medical services. And finally today, he has a stable of cool aircraft. Your wife thinks he's better looking than you are. And now this. The National Aeronautic Association has announced that Harrison Ford will receive the prestigious 2010 Wright Brothers Memorial Trophy. The citation defining his achievement will read, "For engaging our nation's youth in aviation and inspiring tomorrow's leaders, innovators, and enthusiasts to secure a strong future for all of aviation." The NAA established the award in 1948 to honor the memory of Orville and Wilbur Wright. The trophy is awarded annually to a living American for significant public service of enduring value to aviation in the United States. NAA cites Ford's leadership of EAA's Young Eagles program, charitable work in the Haitian earthquake relief airlifts, his work as honorary chairman of the 2010 Special Olympics airlift, and his personal time logged in flying search and rescue into remote areas for Teton County and Lincoln County in Wyoming, among his worthy achievements. Jonathan Gaffney, president and CEO of NAA and chairman of the selection committee, commented, quote, "All of us at NAA are very grateful for the work that Mr. Ford has done to advance the cause of aviation and aerospace in our nation. And we are particularly proud to present him with one of the greatest awards in aviation as an acknowledgement of his efforts and his success," unquote. Congratulations to Harrison Ford, and thanks for showing the world what general aviation can do. Although I gotta say, wasn't Han Solo the scariest poster child for human factors ever? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll debrief Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org about his testimony before Congress last week. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.